everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. On today's show, I am ridiculously amped to have Barbara Stanny. Actually, she goes by Barbara Houston now, but for those of you who have read some of her books, you might be more familiar with her former name, Barbara Stanny. Either way, Barbara Stanny, Barbara Stanny Houston. She is the author of multiple best-selling books revolving around the topic of women and money. I have read several of them, and honestly, I just ordered the one that I had not read, which is Overcoming Under-Earning. But she is incredibly brilliant. And of all the books that I've bought recently on women and money and their money issues, I swear to you, her books are the books that are the ones I've underlined the most in, the ones that I've earmarked the pages in, the ones I'm going back to, the ones that I'm mentioning to other people. I was absolutely thrilled that when I stalked her online and asked if she'd be on the podcast, she said yes. So this, it's her first guest experience on the show. We are going to have her back for sure, because this is part of the Financially Fit series that I'm going to be regularly producing here on the show for you. And why, I mean, I don't think I have to tell all of you why we're producing a Financially Fit series, but just not because it's just a play on words. I'm sharing a Financially Fit series on this show because, as we've talked about previously, it's become very clear to me in my own personal experience the past couple of years that stress is one of the hugest, can create one of the hugest negative impacts on our health out there. And what are some of the biggest sources of stress? Money and our jobs. So there's a reason that I'm producing a business series, and I'm also doing a series on finances. And really, sometimes the business and finance can overlap, understandably. But I really want women to be able to become a lot more informed about money. First, how to solve the money problems that they have if they're carrying credit card debt, college, student loan debt, debt of any kind, how to get past that and then get to the place where they're actually saving and investing money. And then the next step, which is building wealth for themselves. And that can mean where we start to maybe potentially segue over into the business areas, because you're probably not going to be building a lot of wealth working in corporate America, and that's where you should consider some side hustles, maybe some additional streams of income, and potentially, you know, jumping ship like I did from corporate America into the entrepreneurial life with multiple business ventures, multiple streams of income, where you can really build wealth for yourself and take care of yourself and the ones you love. I think you get where I'm going with this. So this is why I'm thrilled to have Barbara on the show. I will just point out to you, when I was interviewing her, there did seem to be a slight lag between audio. You know how sometimes you're watching the news and they'll say, they'll ask somebody a question who's on location and there's like an audio pause before they start answering. I experienced a little bit of that with her. I'm not quite sure why, but just be ready for that because it did come through in translation with the audio. So there's a slight delay on some of the answers, but it's still fantastic. And I know you're going to learn a lot in this episode, and I can't wait to have her back on the show. So sit back and enjoy this two-part episode with Barbara Stanny. I did have them make this into two parts. It's about a 45-minute interview. So on some of these that are, you know, not quite an hour, but well over 30 minutes, I'm dividing them up into two for easier consumption. Hope you enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. I am seriously, if you could see me, I'm figuratively jumping up and down because, and if you've been following me recently on Instagram, you know, I have put this book up and indicated it's one of the best books I've ever read on the topic of women and money in my life. And I am so thrilled that I reached out to the author, Barbara Hewson, formerly known as Barbara Stanny. And she's authored several books, of which I have many. But this book, I read this book recently, and I literally was showing my man, I underlined like the whole book. It's that impactful. It's that good. And so I immediately had to go to her website. I'm like, please, 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 please be on the podcast. And she has been gracious enough to extend some time with us today so that we can talk about this very important topic of women and money. So Barbara, welcome to the show. Are you ready to go?
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I am thrilled. And let's just dive right in. You know, the book that I am referring to, and for everybody listening, we will link up to this in the show notes. It's called Sacred Success. And Barbara has written many other books as well. And one of them, what was the book where you interviewed? Was it The Secrets of Successful Women you interviewed? And because you referenced that in this book as well. What was the title of that book?
My first book was called Prince Charming Isn't Coming, How Women Get Smart About Money, because I didn't know a damn thing about money. So I went out and interviewed all these women, and that's how I got smart. My second book was the one you're referring to, The Secrets of Six-Figure Women, because once I learned how to manage money, I wanted to learn how to make it. Hmm. And indeed, I started making six figures before I even finished writing that book. And then the third one was Overcoming Under-Earning. And my last one is Sacred Success, which I really appreciate all your praise.
What I was telling her before we started recording, everybody, I have read, you know, I'm certainly somebody who, and I'm going to try to put this in a positive way because I'm learning, you know, about the power of our self-talk and how we talk about ourselves. But, you know, I'm somebody who has never my whole life been confident about money. And this is something that is very common in our community. I've polled again and again and again about women and their income, about debt, about money, how much they're earning, just the topic of talking about money or talking about money problems or asking for help. And every single response was overwhelmingly like 85 to 95% of women saying, I have debt. I don't know how to get out of it. I'm uncomfortable talking about money. I don't manage my money well. It freaks me out. I'm stressed out about money. I don't earn enough money. I worry about the future. All of these things. So this is very common. And I can tell you, I've bought a lot of books from some very well-known experts, both male and female. And there are no books that I even finished. And Barbara's book. So I have the Prince Charming book. I have not read Overcoming Under-Earning, but that is something for sure. Number one, I know everyone in our audience needs to read, and I need to read because that's also a very common topic. But then I also have your other book, The Secrets of Six-Figure Earners. And I find it fascinating that you said, hey, at first I was not smart about money, and then I got smart about money, and I got better at managing money and making more money. So those are maybe three good jumping off points we can start with. So when you say I wasn't smart about money, because I know that that's going to probably paint a picture for many of the women listening, what do you mean by that?
That means I grew up in a wealthy family. My father was the R of H&R Block. And the only advice he ever gave me about money was don't worry. Of course, under that was the unspoken assumption there'll always be a man to take care of you. So I thought that was great advice. I didn't worry. I just liked to spend it. And I married a man who was a stockbroker. So he was perfect. But what I found out very early in our marriage is that he was a compulsive gambler. And over the course of our 15-year marriage, he gambled away almost all of my inheritance. And here's the insane part. I continued to let him for 15 years. I let him manage my money because I was terrified and totally intimidated by anything financial. And after our divorce, finally got a divorce, I decided money's not my thing. I do not want to deal with money. I'm 40 years old now, 41. Don't want to deal with money. Well, I have this theory that if you don't deal with your money will deal with you. And I got taxes bills for over $1 million for back taxes. My husband didn't pay for illegal deals. My husband has left the country. I did not have anywhere close to $1 million. And my dad wouldn't lend me the money. And that's when I knew I had to get smart. And I swear to God, I really believe that when you make a commitment, like a down to your toes commitment, the universe revolves to help you reach your goal. Because I had no idea I was going to do it. I went to classes. I read books. My eyes would glaze over. My brain would fog up. I just figured I was stupid. And then, as fate would have it, I was a journalist writing for the San Francisco Business Times. And I was hired for a freelance project to interview women who had lots of money. Women who had, whether they earned it or they inherited or they married it, but they had and they were smart about money. And those interviews changed my life. And I not only got smart about money, but I had this whole new career traveling around the country. And then I decided I got to figure out how to make money because I knew how to manage it by that time, but I couldn't make it. And so that's when I interviewed these women, for six-figure women, and I started making six figures before I even finished writing the book.
Wow. God, there's so much in your story that is, it's like the perfect timeline of what I know. These are some of the lessons that I've learned recently, and so many women in this audience are going to gobble this up and go out and buy all of your books, which I strongly recommend. I certainly will be buying the one last book of yours that I haven't read, and I'm so psyched to hear that you've got a new one coming out in the future. I truly think you're the absolute best person on this topic in the industry, because no other book has made me even keep reading. So interestingly enough, you brought up something that I have heard in conversations, and it's something certainly that I can reference in my past. It seems to be a very common thing about women who are at a certain level of success earning money that get just taken to the cleaners by a guy. And it could be a guy in their business. I've had this happen within my, you know, you and I offline, we're talking about the drama that's happened with my company in the past, or my former company in the past couple of years. And it was always men doing, just betraying me and doing stupid, stupid stuff with money within my organization. And I lost a lot. And I have talked to several women recently who, like you, they were in a marriage, the guy was spending all of their money. They just kept staying with this person. What do you have any, like, I don't even know what the question is I'm asking. Why
yes,
is this so common
I do.
For
yes.
women?
Well, I would tell you, it is not just with men. It is with employees. It is with friends. It is just, there doesn't have to be another person. I believe that the reason women have so much difficulty with money, making it, managing it, keeping it, growing it, the reason is, has nothing to do with money. It has to do with their fear of or ambivalence about power. And I first realized this when I was writing Prince Charming Isn't Coming, and I was interviewing these women who were smart about money. Now, they didn't pop out of the womb knowing about money. But I saw what happened. I saw it was when they were able to own their power, and I'll talk about what that means in a minute, but when they were able and willing to own their power, that's when everything changed. And I remember saying to a psychologist, it's in that book, Prince Charming, I remember saying, why are we so afraid of our power? And she said to me something that gave me full body chills. She said, because powerful women have been burned at the stake. And I absolutely believe that. I think we are afraid of our power. And a woman, I define a powerful woman as someone who knows who she is, who knows what she wants, and expresses that in the world unapologetically. And that means that we don't water ourselves down. We don't quiet ourselves, but we speak up, even if we have to make waves, because I want a woman to make big waves. Mm. And that's what we're scared to do. We're scared of rocking the boat. And so really, all my books and all my work, it is not about money. Money is just a metaphor. What I want to help women do is step into their power, to own their greatness, to own the light that they are, the light in them that they need to shine in the world, because the world desperately needs responsible women who are have money. And I like to think of, I don't think of it just working women with their money. I want to help women create wealth. There's three levels of financial development. There is survival, stability, and affluence. Survival is not enough. Stability is enough. And affluence is more than enough. And that's where I want to take women, from wobbly stability or stability to affluence. Because that's when we, as Mother Teresa said, it takes a checkbook to change the world. And it's not just about having the checkbook and having the bank account. It's about who we have to become a container that can attract and maintain, hold the money. Right now, so many of us are like sieves, you know, all those holes, and the money comes in, it just goes out.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just said too about it's who we become, because this has struck me in a huge way with all the turmoil that I went through in the past couple of years with my business. It forced me to become a stronger, savvier, more empowered businesswoman. And really, for lack of a better way of saying it, like, I'm just not the doormat I used to be. I don't take shit from anyone anymore. And I did for years, and I didn't see it in myself. But the woman that I've become through these storms, and now because I'm stronger, and I am, it's so ironic that you use the term unapologetic, because that was the phrase that came to my head that I've used, I put as, you know, just on my blog as my tagline, because I finally feel that I am unapologetically myself. Whereas most of my adult life, I've been living, I mean, even in my 30s and 40s, like thinking, what will my parents think if I put this up on social media? And just living, worrying about the approval and the acceptance of others. What will people think if I do this kind of business, if I start my own company? And when you, as you said, come into your power and you are pursuing your calling with just absolute certainty and belief in yourself, the things that women can do.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. Let me interrupt you.
Yeah.
Because every successful woman I've ever interviewed, every successful woman who have come to me as a client, in every one of us, we're women. In every one of us, there's a part of us, as one woman said, there's this little girl in me that just wants to be liked. Mm. That's in everybody, and it's not going to go away. And we have to toughen up without hardening our hearts or going into anger, which is false power, cheap power. Mm-hmm. And so what I found from successful women is they all had this, they didn't use this term, but I did. They all had their love nest, their group of people, their group of family, friends, you know, besties, that they could be themselves with, that they could be that insecure little girl that they could talk about. I interviewed women who were in the WPO, Women's President's Organization, mm-hmm. where 11 million was the minimum to be in that organization, 11 million in revenue. Mm-hmm. And they said their most powerful conversations were about their personal insecurities. So I don't want women to think that we have to get past our fear, past our insecurity. That is not true. We need to find the support that will say, you go, girl, you can do this. And we need to do that for ourselves. And we need a place where we can kind of fall apart. So I don't want to turn women into these angry men or angry women. Mm-hmm. I want us to know we can feel the fear, we can have the self-doubt, we can feel like a fraud, but we can do it anyway. That's what I learned. That's the biggest thing I've learned from interviewing. I've learned a lot from interviewing successful women, but I think my biggest was you can feel the fear, feel the self-doubt. They all did. And they did it anyway. They didn't let the fear stop them.
It's so true. And I think the more that you, well, it was certainly true in my experience, the more that I faced all the things I thought I couldn't do. And I realized, like, I remember it was my therapist at one point. She said, haven't, you know, think about, cause I'm like, I can't take anymore. I can't take something else happening. And I would say that a lot. And she would say, Kelly, let's go over what's happened to you this year and what you've dealt with. And I'm like, wow, you know, and it's funny how it's, I think at the bottom of it, for me, it was a lot of self-awareness. I just became aware of my greatness and being able to identify it because I heard it was other people that were pouring that into me. I never, ever reflected or even talked about the success that I had in my business until somebody, another woman interviewed me on her podcast. And when she was promoting the podcast, she did the intro and there was like a social media blurb and it said, Kelly Alexa started a profitable 7-figure business and da da da. And I remember hearing that going, that's me. And I'd never chosen to talk about my success. I never thought it was a big deal. I apologized for it. And I think this is something you talk about in the book, you know, like women always minimizing like, oh, it's no big deal. I don't know how I did it. And we don't accept our greatness. We don't accept because we think it's wrong to brag. We think it's wrong to be proud of ourselves. Is this something that you've seen a lot in women and not in the successful 6-figure earners and beyond?
There is a tendency in us as women is to diminish ourselves. I remember I had a coach one time and she said to me, this was, I think it was about 15 years ago. And she said, Barbara, self-depreciation is your comfort zone. And I had no idea. And I asked my friends, I had some really good friends. And I said, when I self-depreciate, you pointed out, I couldn't believe how much I did it. So I became aware. And what I realized in this new body of work I've created, I'm writing a new book called Rewire for Wealth. And it includes psychology, spirituality, and personal finance with neuroscience. And it's about how our brain is wired, that no matter how much discipline, how much willpower, how we force ourselves, we cannot change until we wire our brain. And the only way to rewire your brain, because what flows through the mind, our thoughts and our feelings, is what wires our brain. And so it's really important the words we use and the thoughts we think. That there was a book title once, you can't afford the luxury of a negative thought. That it's really important that we brag and that we have people around us who are also feeling, are also going to be our cheerleaders, our you go girl. Yeah. It's very important.
I was writing that down. You can't afford the luxury of a negative thought. I need to look that up. This is such good stuff. And everything we're talking about here is literally stuff that has come up. We've been doing, like I mentioned to you, we've been doing a lot of polling with our community and the feedback has been exactly everything that we're talking about here. And I want to go back to what you started to say at the beginning of the show, because again, I think these are really good jumping off points for this initial episode talking about women and money issues. And I am totally going to follow up with you, Barbara, because I would really love to have you back on the show and talk a little bit more in detail about some of these things. And then, of course, we'll have you back on the show when your new book is out and so on. But you talked about in the beginning, again, you were originally not smart about money. Then you got smart about money and you learned how to manage your money. Then when you learned how to manage your money, that's when you were interviewing these successful 6-figure earners. And you said, okay, I'm good at managing money. Like, I get it. I can deal with it. I can talk about it. I know how it works. Now I want to make more. And I'd like to start with that topic because that's a lot about what you talk about in the book. And again, we have a very entrepreneurial-minded audience. We have a very entrepreneurial, aspiring audience. So a lot of women that are listening to this show are in corporate America, not happy with how much they're making. They desire to start their own business or maybe start something on the side, earn more. They're interested in pursuing their passion, but they haven't started yet. And so this is why we're covering these topics. And what I found when I started underlining virtually your entire book, what I found really compelling is that you were referring in chapter 2 to how so many women that you interviewed who had become successful had almost had to go through this very chaotic storm that forced them to kind of slow down and look at what they really wanted to do. And when they really pursued, I'm summarizing here, of course, but when they took the time to slow down, which is exactly what happened to me, and figure out what it is they're passionate about, what it is they're called to do, that's when they were the most successful with money. That's when they really started to fly and earn the most money. Would you say I'm summarizing that accurately, that a lot of these people, it's like they had to find their calling and they hadn't given themselves time to do that?
So let me put it like this. So for Sacred Success, I decided after I wrote Overcoming Under-Earning.
Hey, everybody. This is the end of part one of this two-part interview with Barbara Stanny. Make sure you tune into part two.